I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hi. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. It's November. No, it's not. Next week is November.
One day we'll know when the episode is coming out. Yeah. Well, when we're actually recording it.
Yeah.
Not today.
Not today.
But one day.
One day.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Killer Cuties podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Cassidy.
I'm Katie.
Love that. Look at that. Look at us introducing ourselves.
We've done that like twice this entire podcast.
Yeah. It used to be part of our intro.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Before we made the music.
Should
we talk about... Oh, yes.
I was going to say, you're going to kick us off with November movies.
I am. Yes. This is our last episode of October. Also... Halloween's in 2 days, so happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
But yeah, I'm going to tell you guys new releases for horror movies in November. There's honestly not a lot, which is kind of sad, but I feel like we're kind of entering the Christmas era, not so much the horror era.
Yeah.
Which is always sad, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. So kicking it off on November 1st, this Friday... We've got Cellar Door, which is about a wealthy homeowner who offers to give his beautiful estate to a couple who's looking for a fresh start. However, their dream comes with one unusual caveat. They can never open the cellar door.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun. Very clever title, Cellar Door. They can't open it. Incredible.
Okay.
And then, also this Friday, we have He Never Left. After hearing strange noises coming from an adjoining motel room, a federal fugitive wanted for murder and his girlfriend inadvertently become targets of the notorious Pale Face Killer, whose legend has consumed and haunted the local community for decades.
Okay. The Pale Faces.
I've never heard of him, but...
The Pale Faces is what the werewolves call the vampires in Twilight.
Oh, maybe it's a spinoff.
I hope so.
I doubt it, but... Never say never. And then next Friday on November 8th, we've got Drive Back, which is about a comic artist and his pregnant fiance. They're celebrating their new engagement at a remote cabin, but after a New York car accident leaves them lost in the woods, they find themselves trapped on a hidden shortcut. And they discover a terrifying killer is hunting them and that the shortcut is darker and more personal than they realized.
Ooh, that's
Sounds
just kind
of creepy. I haven't seen that yet,
oh, sorry.
But... No, I mean, that's fine. So it's a popular show. I've been meaning to watch.
Yeah.
And then also we have the movie that's going to be our pick next month. We're going to be talking about it. Heretic. Yeah. So that is about two young missionaries who are forced to prove their faith when they knock on the wrong door and are greeted by a diabolical Mr. Reed, played by Hugh Grant. And they become ensnared in his deadly game of cat and mouse. It's gotten pretty good reviews at the festivals that it's screened at, so I'm kind of excited about it.
Good.
When I first saw the trailer, I was like, okay, maybe. But now I'm kind of excited.
Don't get too excited. I'm going to see it in Smell-O-Vision, I hope.
Yeah, I heard that. You have a theater that's doing Smell-O-Vision? Why?
Lots of theaters are doing it. A24 is giving away tickets. It's a sweepstakes to early screenings of it. It's actually... On the 30th, October 30th is when the screenings are.
I'm not sure that a horror movie is one that I want to see in Smell-O-Vision.
Yeah.
I think if it was Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, that'd be a great movie to Smell-O-Vision.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Incredible movie to Smell-O-Vision.
Mm-hmm.
A horror movie? That I'm not sure about.
Mm-hmm.
And then only one more that I could find. I'm sure there's other ones that are going to streaming sites and stuff, but they won't tell me.
No.
They won't tell me all of them. So this is the only one I could find that was also releasing. But it's called Tumbad. Here's the description. India, 19th century. On the outskirts of a decrepit village called Tumbad, name, title, lives a stubborn, conniving bastard son of the village lord, obsessed with a mystical ancestral treasure. What starts with a few gold coins quickly spirals into a reckless, perpetual yearning spanning decades. His greed keeps escalating till he unearths the biggest secret of all, something more valuable than treasure itself.
That's just Aladdin.
You know, maybe. It sounds interesting. It sounds like an epic journey, so.
Yeah.
Who knows? Not me.
Okay. Well, things to look forward to.
Yeah, there you go. You got some news for us?
I've got a few. Three of them. The Rocky Horror Picture Show has just been released as a horizontal platformer on Steam and Nintendo Switch.
A game?
A game. It's by Freak Zone Games, and it includes all of the songs and characters you know and love in 8-bit form.
Oh.
Yeah, it's only 10 US smackos. And it's got pretty good ratings. Well, it's got a little bit higher than average ratings.
Okay. That's good enough.
Yeah.
Interesting. I would never watch Rocky Horror and be like, that should be a video game.
Yeah, no, me neither. But
I'm glad it is.
Yeah. Especially, well, an 8-bit is probably kind of cute. It's probably cute. I bet it's cute.
Yeah, I bet it's very campy and on brand.
Yeah. Okay, next one. Insidious is coming to a stage near you. There's a brand new live experience starting in January 2025 that brings a new Insidious story, The Further You Fear, to 80 plus local seated theaters across North America. It's like a Broadway production. Yeah. It's described as, this is from, I went to go buy tickets, and this is the description from the ticket website. An all-new thrilling story set in the Insidious universe and hosted as a live show by the actual paranormal investigators who inspired the movie. When a paranormal demonstration goes horribly wrong, dark forces are unleashed and the horror becomes all too real, with the audience finding themselves under attack by characters such as the Bride in Black, the Wheezing Man, and of course the infamous Red-Faced Demon.
Sorry, what do you mean the audience is under attack?
We're going to have to find out.
Are they going to kill me?
I hope so. But yeah, no, it's like an immersive Broadway production. The theater that it's coming to near me is a pretty big theater. It's got a really weird raised stage, so I don't know how people from the stage are going to get into the audience. I'm just thinking of like my theater, but I'll find out May of next year. $40.
Yeah. $40?
Mm-hmm.
A steal.
It's not that bad.
No.
It looks cool. The design of the stage looks neat. I'm looking forward to it.
I like it. That sounds fun.
Come with me. I bought an extra ticket for no reason.
Oh my god. That could be me. You actually bought tickets?
No.
Oh, I was like, wait, you already.
But I do want to go.
Ready.
I do want to go.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah. Okay, one more.
Okay.
Every year, the Science of Scare Project enlists 250 volunteers to be fitted with heart rate monitors and watch a lineup of English language horror films. They read the viewer's heart rate and heart variance to determine how stressed they are by the films, which gives them an accurate representation of the scare factor of slow burn and jump scare films.
Mm-hmm.
So this year's list has just been released, and there's a couple good ones. It honestly hasn't changed a lot, but there are some new ones. Should I go from the bottom or should I go from the top?
Oh, work your way to the top, of course.
Okay. All right. Well, my favorite one is number 20. Number 20 is Oddity. That just came out a few months ago, beginning of this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's the scariest movie I've ever seen, so that checks out. Number 19, Insidious 2. Followed by The Autopsy of Jane Doe, A Quiet Place 2, The Babadook, Paranormal Activity 1,
okay.
The Descent, The Dark and the Wicked, which I've never even heard of. Okay.
It's by the same guy who did The Strangers.
Strangers wasn't scary.
That's not true. That movie ruined my life when I was 16.
Oh, well, yeah, because you were 16. It follows The Conjuring 2, Hell House LLC.
Yeah.
Ooh, Talk to Me. Talk to Me moved up like 4 or 5 spaces.
Good for it. Okay.
Yep. The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Smile.
Hey.
Yep. Hereditary. The Conjuring. Number 4 is Insidious. Number 3 is Skinamarink, which is fucking insane. You guys are fucking crazy. That movie was so weird and not scary. Number 2, Host. Not to be confused with The Host. Just Host. And number 1, Sinister.
Yeah, I feel like since Host came out, it's kind of been that and Sinister at 1 and 2, which I think we talked about when we talked about Sinister.
Yeah.
Remind
me which one's Sinister?
Sinister is the one with Bagul, and it's the lawnmower scene with Ethan Hawke.
Yes, with Ethan Hawke.
Watches the old movies. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that would be my order of the list, but I can't say that anything on there like super surprises me, except for Skinamarink. I don't understand that one, but I have heard that some people, you know, headphones, laptop, watching it like that, the suspense of it really got to them.
Yeah.
I went into it knowing nothing happened, so it did not have that impact on me at all. But
yeah, that movie was weird. But yay for Oddity.
Yeah, I'm happy it was on there. I really thought it would be a little bit higher because it's got some really good tension and some really good jump scares, but
yeah. I bet next year it goes up a few.
Maybe. I'm also wondering, do these people watch all of the movies all in a row? Like, how do they do it?
I don't know.
Are these people who have never seen any of these movies before?
How do we get enlisted to be in the Science of Scare project?
Well, see, I wouldn't want to be enlisted because my stuff wouldn't be accurate because I've already seen a lot of these movies.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to – my heart rate's not going to go up when I watch, you know, Sinister now because I've already seen it. I already know what happens.
Yeah.
The first time I saw the lawnmower scene, yeah, I probably would have raised a bit. But now it's old news.
Yeah. Wow. We should have signed me up for that 100 movies ago.
We really should have.
Now we're here to talk about Smile and Smile 2.
Both. Double feature. Yeah, okay, so before we get into it, Smile and Smile 2, I'll give you a little refresher. Hopefully you've seen Smile 2. If you haven't seen Smile 2, press pause and go see it in the theaters real quick and then come back. Okay. Yep. Smile. After witnessing a bizarre traumatic incident involving a patient, Dr. Rose Cotter starts experiencing frightening occurrences that she can't explain. As an overwhelming terror begins taking over her life, Rose must confront her troubling past in order to survive and escape her horrifying new reality. That's from Google. Smile 2 is basically the same thing, except this time it's Sky Riley, a concert person, as Katie would say. And she's a former addict. That's pretty much all the changes, right? In the high level overview.
Yeah.
Same concept, different main person. Smile was written and directed by Parker Finn. It's based on the short story also by him called Laura Hasn't Slept. It stars Sosie Bacon, Jesse T. Usher, and Kyle Gallner. It's got a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb, an 80% critics score, and a 77% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. It made $217.4 million on a $17 million budget. So it was very successful.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why it got a sequel. So Smile 2, also written and directed by Parker Finn. It stars Naomi Scott and Rosemary DeWitt. It's got a 7.2 out of 10 on IMDb, an 85% critics, and an 83% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. That being said, it did just come out, so these reviews are still coming in. It had a budget of $28 million and has so far made $48 million. Again, it just came out, so I'm sure that those numbers, even by the time you're listening to this episode, are probably different because we're filming this the Monday after, or the Tuesday after it came out.
Mm-hmm.
So a week before you're going to hear this episode.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that, that those numbers probably aren't accurate now, but to give you an idea of where we're at when recording.
Let's talk about it.
Twist my arm.
I mean, how do you want to do this? Do you want to just do Smile and then Smile 2? Or do you want to talk about both of them at the same time? Or
I feel like we can loosely start with Smile, but I do feel like because it is kind of one continuous story, Smile 2 picks up 6 days after Smile ends. So it is kind of a continuous storyline, even though it doesn't directly follow Kyle Gallner's character, who the curse is passed on to at the end of Smile, which was my biggest issue with Smile 2. I just really love Kyle Gallner, and I wanted him. I was so excited when I heard he was coming back for the sequel, and so I was really sad when he died immediately. Yeah. Yeah, that was, it just, it didn't align with my fantasy.
I'm sorry.
But I also wasn't super surprised because I knew that it was going to be about the singer, not him. So
yeah,
I knew it was coming, but it still hurt.
Did you know that he was going to be the one getting hit by the truck?
Yeah, because it showed it in the trailer.
Oh, it showed him in the trailer? I didn't remember it being him.
It's quick, but I recognized him, so I don't know. Yeah.
The blood smear on the ground was a smile. They hit a lot of smiles in hindsight. They hit a lot of smiles, but that was a good one.
Yeah, I did like that opening sequence of the blood smear smile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like giggling and kicking my feet a little bit. I don't know why.
Oh.
It was fun.
You freak.
Seeing him smeared on the floor like that.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Not in like a weird way.
No, yeah, sure. Of course.
Yeah, just, yeah.
In a really cool way.
Yeah, it was cool. It was like, oh, that's kind of fun.
It was a good way to open it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though I do wish I could have at least seen more of him. I was kind of hoping that he would be like a bodyguard on her tour or something and we'd see a little bit more and then.
Yeah.
But.
Because he was a cop.
Yeah, but it's not my movie, so, you know.
Whatever.
Yeah. He's just a little underrated Scream King, and I like him.
What else is he in?
Oh, Katie. He's in Jennifer's Body. He's in the Friday the 13th. Nope, not the Friday the 13th. Nightmare on Elm Street remake. He's in Strange Darling, which came out this year as well.
I'm supposed to watch that.
Yeah, I did tell you to watch it. he's been in other stuff too. I'm trying to think of more. Scream. He's in Scream 5.
As who?
He played Vince. He's like the first person to die in Scream 5.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he's been in quite a few horror movies.
He looked familiar.
Mm-hmm. He plays the goth kid in Jennifer's Body.
Oh, okay.
There it is.
Cute.
Yeah. He was in a great episode of Criminal Minds. As a little freak. And then I talked about him before. I think I talked about him in Jennifer's Body because he's in Dead by Daylight. He's Quentin.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, why do I look like that? You need to redo it.
He was upset. He said, hey, Dead by Daylight, can you fix my face? Because that guy's hideous, and I don't know who you think it is, but it's not me.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, and The Haunting of Connecticut. He was in that. We'll watch that eventually.
Okay.
He's been in a lot of horror movies.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Enough about Kyle. I just spent the whole episode talking about him. Yeah, Smile. I like that it was originally supposed to be a straight to streaming.
Yeah, Paramount.
Yeah, it was originally just supposed to go straight to Paramount Plus. And then it was screened. Nope, it was screened for test audiences who screamed. And then, no, but then it just scored way higher than they anticipated it to. So they decided to give it a theatrical release.
Good for it.
I mean, it was the smart move because it made $200 million mm-hmm. more than its budget. So,
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, speaking of the Paramount logo, they flip it upside down so that it looks like a smile. They do that a lot. There are so many like little smile Easter eggs. I already said that, but I'm saying it again.
Yeah, tons of little smiles if you go back and rewatch all the little Easter eggs. Did you get a chance to watch the original short?
No.
Mm.
But I heard it was nothing like this.
Not really, no.
Did you watch it?
I did a while ago. It was a good short, yeah.
Okay.
It was definitely different. I like, what's her name? Caitlin Stacey. I think she's really good. I almost wish that she was in Smile a little bit more because I thought she was good in the movie.
Yeah, and she was like the face of the movie too.
Yeah, she's like in all the posters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All the posters, all the marketing for it is her.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I kind of thought she was maybe better than Sosie Bacon. I'm so sorry, Kevin.
Maybe.
And Sosie, but she wasn't bad.
No.
I just didn't find her as compelling, I guess, maybe.
Oh, well, see, I thought she carried the movie.
Really?
Outside of that intro scene, I feel like they both did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe for the third movie, they'll do like a prequel. And then she'll get to be in it. That would be fun.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
But no, I thought that, how do you say her name?
I think Sosie.
Sosie. Yeah. Miss Bacon was by far the strongest talent-wise.
In the first one?
In the first one. Yeah. Mm. The fiance especially is who stuck out to me as like, his acting was just really flat. Mm. He didn't really have any personality. He didn't make any facial expressions. I don't know if that was supposed to be like, I don't know if that was intentional because like everybody else who was making facial expressions was going to kill you or themselves.
Yeah.
But it like, they just felt like roommates. There was no chemistry. It was just like really took
me out of
it. I do
agree with that. The main couple did not.
Yeah, they didn't work for me.
It was very believable that her and Kyle Gallner were exes, but it was not very believable that she was engaged to. I think it's Jesse T. Usher who plays her fiance.
Yeah.
But I'm also, I don't know if it was stylistic because he's in The Boys and he does good in The Boys. So I don't think he's a bad actor. I think it just wasn't, something wasn't meshing right there.
Because
I do agree with you that them together was not my favorite.
Yeah. And honestly, in Smile, too, I feel like Naomi Scott absolutely carried that cast, too. She
was great.
Yeah, was incredible.
Yeah.
I the whole time believed that she was a pop star that was really good at acting, not a really good actor pretending to be a pop star.
Well, she is a singer.
Oh.
That is her singing. She was in the live-action Aladdin as Jasmine.
Oh my God, you're so right.
Yeah. So
oh my God. She can fucking sing.
She can sing. It's her singing in the. Not her songs. They wrote them for the movie, but it is her.
I knew she was singing, but I thought maybe she was just, you know, some actors and actresses come out and they can do their little singing thing, but.
Yeah, no.
I knew her name.
Yeah, and. Not even that. I'm pretty sure one of the first things she ever did was Lemonade Mouth on Disney Channel, where they also sang. So
yeah, that doesn't mean anything to me. I never watched that.
I didn't either. It was a little bit after my time.
Yeah.
But I know about it because I've seen it on the TikToks, you know?
Yeah. The TikTok.
The TikTok, yeah. And I love Bridget Mendler, but... She was in it, so.
Okay.
You don't know Bridget Mendler?
No.
Oh my God, she's amazing.
Who is she?
She was a Disney Channel star.
Okay.
And then she made incredible songs afterwards. Never got her flowers for it. You should actually look them up. I'll send you some songs of hers.
Okay.
But anyways, she made great songs and then fell off. The guy who wrote some of her songs, he has also written songs for Rihanna, Beyonce. And he recently did an interview where he said working with Bridget was his favorite because she was so smart, where they would send her like a melody and she'd have lyrics written that were just brilliant in seconds.
Oh my God.
Yep. So she left Hollywood, went to MIT, and now she funded her own company called Northwood Space. She has her own space company.
Oh, wait. I know this girl. I've seen her on TikTok.
Yeah. She's brilliant. Everybody loves her.
How fun.
Wow. She just seems cool, you know? There's something cool about being on the Disney Channel and then saying, actually, I'm going to found a space company.
Yeah.
Anyways, they were in Lemonade Mouth together.
That's how we got there.
All that to say, Naomi Scott is a singer and an actor.
Yes, absolutely. Yep, you're so right.
And I told Katie before we even started, some of the songs in this movie kind of slap. And Smile too. She's a singer.
Yeah, Smile too.
New Brain on repeat. Great song.
I'm gonna have to really give them a listen that they deserve.
Yeah. Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to know my least favorite thing about both of these movies?
Yes, I do.
The dumbest thing, the most unbelievable thing.
Okay.
Is Dr. Taub saying CPR resuscitation.
Mm-hmm.
The actor who plays Dr. Taub was in-house so long, he should have known. He should have advocated for that script change right there. Because he literally said, cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Like, what?
But he's not a doctor in the movie.
So? It's like saying ATM machine.
Know that? So many people say that, though.
But don't.
They're wrong.
They're wrong.
But I'm just saying, he's just a guy. We don't even know what Morris does for a living. So would he say it? Probably.
He's old enough to know also. He's what, 50?
There's a lot of 50-year-olds who don't know shit. He's just trying to stop a curse, okay? Don't go hating on Morris.
I absolutely will. CPR resuscitation is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That took me right out of the movie. I was like, what the fuck are you saying?
Yeah.
Dr. Taub?
That, I get it.
Thank you.
I don't think that was the thing that made me the most confused.
Oh. What was yours?
I mean, I'm definitely thinking about it too hard. Because these are the types of movies that they can just do whatever they want. And then write it off because, oh, well, it's just making things up in your mind, so it doesn't have to make sense. We can just do anything and then say, oh, well, it was all a lie because the entity made it a lie. Mm-hmm. And that's not my favorite.
Oh, okay.
I'll start there. I think these movies are fun if you, like, don't think about it too much. But I think about things too much. And so it kind of frustrated me in the sequel when they started breaking rules that they had already established. Because it kind of reminds me of, like, The Watchers. Do you remember The Watchers with Dakota Fanning?
Unfortunately.
We watched that earlier this year. Yeah, and there's this whole scene where this lady says, here's all these rules, don't break them, it's life or death. And then they proceed to break every single rule and nothing bad happens to them. And just don't tell me rules if they're not actually rules.
Yeah.
I don't. Please. And so in the first movie, they establish, and then Taub even reiterates this in the second one, that the only person who can see the smiling people is the person who's been infected.
Mm-hmm.
They immediately break this in the second one. The first smiler she sees, well, besides Lewis, is the little girl at the meet and greet. Everyone acknowledges her presence who's there.
Yep.
Everyone can see her. So immediately, that rules out the window.
Wait, who else acknowledges her?
the security guard who lets her in and the photographer. He says, let's get a picture now. Like her Joshua, the friend.
Oh, yeah.
Who's taking the pictures. So they acknowledge that there is someone there with her. Even though, according to the first movie and Taub, that should not be happening. And then there's also the scene where Gemma spends the night, but it's not really Gemma. We find that out later. Mm-hmm. So Smiler. And after Skye leaves the room, although the mom does not acknowledge Gemma, after Skye is out of the room, Gemma acknowledges the mom. Which to me does not make sense. Because it doesn't make sense in the world of the character. The only reason they would include that is to deceive the audience.
Yeah.
Because the entity is not going to acknowledge her. She knows she can't see her.
Well, so unless she's trying to deceive the person she's trying to infect.
Yes, but Skye had gone. Skye was already out of the room.
Oh.
When she says, hey, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
So the only reason they would leave that in is to deceive us.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you deceive the audience, but it has to make sense in the world that you've created. There's no reason the entity would do that. Right? So that was kind of annoying to me.
Yeah, I think you're thinking about it too hard.
I definitely am. Yeah. But I just think if you're going to establish a rule, you can't just break it and be like, oh, well, whatever. It's an entity. It doesn't matter. Like,
yeah.
That was kind of mad. Like, it kind of matters a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the only other thing was that in the sequel, they kind of establish a new rule-ish or like a new theory where they're sitting at the table and Taub says, oh, we have to kill you before the entity can kill you, right?
Yeah.
If you die in some other way before it can fully possess you, then we can stop the gate, the curse.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience is now supposed to hinge all of our hope for this character on the idea that that could be a possibility.
Yeah.
We already know it can't be. Because Kyle Gallner's character at the very beginning of the movie is not fully possessed when he dies, and it still gets passed on. So you're now introducing a whole theory of hope that hinges on us not knowing what happened 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Maybe an hour ago. This movie's, the sequel is too long. Can we start there?
It is?
That was 20 minutes too long.
No, I didn't think so.
That did not need to be over 2 hours. That was crazy.
Yeah. It was over 2 hours? It didn't feel like that to me.
It was like 2:10 almost.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's me thinking too hard through the rules of this fake universe. But again, I'm fine with suspending my belief. And even in the first one, there's like these fake out moments, right, where it's definitely playing with her mind. And it didn't bother mm-hmm. me. But in the sequel, it kind of bothered me because they went on way too long and it was too much of this, we can do whatever we want because the entity's, you know, messing with you.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, well, you're taking advantage now.
See, it didn't bother me at all.
There you go.
I liked it.
Yeah, it's a me thing then.
Yep.
I still like both of these movies. I'll say that. I don't not like these movies. I think they're very fun. I just think maybe don't think about them too much.
Yeah. Not that much. That's for fucking sure.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely don't ever think about anything as much as I do, but.
No.
Yeah.
I don't even think I could. I don't have that many thoughts.
Sorry.
That's okay. I kept going back and forth about the like reveal of the entity at the end of the first movie.
Okay.
I got serious whiplash because at first I didn't want there to be a monster until that scene of like the dark hallway where the mom's getting bigger and she's turning into that like lanky thing. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. oh shit. And then we see her face. And it was like, okay, that's cheesy. It was like makeup. Like, okay, we didn't really need to see her face that clearly, I don't think.
Yeah.
And then she does the mouth thing. And she sets on fire. And I'm like back on board. And then like the CGI of her like burning was a little much.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the glimpse of it like in Kyle Gallner's eye.
Yeah.
That was fun. So I think it all kind of like netted out to be okay. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't great. Yeah. But had they there were some things they could have taken out had they like just narrowed it down to a couple of those ideas, it would have been really good.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not always on board for everything. I think the monster itself is kind of cool.
Yeah.
To see it actually personified, even though it's not a person, but to see this creature kind of come out and do it. But it's the close-ups of the eyes and stuff that I don't, it just looks kind of cheesy to me.
Yeah.
Even in Smile 2, when she's like confronting herself,
mm-hmm.
or the entity as herself, and the eyes change.
Yeah.
And they're cartoony.
Yeah, they're like too big.
Huge.
And...
yeah, just huge and veiny, and it didn't scare me.
Yeah. Yeah, I much preferred the like monster reveal in the first one.
And I will say though, oh, go for it.
No, you go first.
I was just going to say that I do like the ending of the second one, because I think me and everyone else who had already seen the first one and then heard the idea for the second one wanted it to end at a concert.
Yes.
We all hoped it would go there. I wasn't even mad that it was predictable, because that's what I wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of annoyed that they wimped out at the end. It's very gory all the way through, and then you don't show us the one scene that it's all leading up to, which is her dying on stage. I kind of wanted to see the microphone get shoved in her eye.
I didn't mind that at all, because it was focused on, like, you really had to realize all of these people now are going to get infected. Or are they? We don't really know. But, like, if look at all of these people watching this happen. That, to me, was much more impactful. And I will say, my brain doesn't work quite as fast or, like, ahead as a lot of people's do. I knew she was going to turn around smiling.
Yeah.
But it did not click that she was going to kill herself in front of those all those people until she was smiling. I about knocked my chair over. I was like, oh, no, none of those people.
I kept thinking the whole time I was watching the movie, I was like, it has to end on stage.
Yeah.
It has to. And so when she's in the Pizza Hut the whole time, I'm thinking, how are we going to get to the stage at this point? Like, we got it. We still have to get there, because if they don't end it like that, what did I just sit here for 2 hours for?
Yeah.
So I was pretty hyped up. So I think I was really excited for it to happen. And I was like, how is she going to do it? So when it just cut to the audience's faces and you just hear the noises, I was like, come on, man.
I had the exact opposite effect. No. I mean, we did get the microphone in the eye. That's you didn't need to see it happening. It seeing everybody's faces was much more impactful for me.
Okay.
But there was an interview like way before this was made, where they were like, well, what happens if more than one person sees it? And then that's where the kind of idea spawned from. Well, I don't know if that person spawned the idea, but that's where we got the taste of he's already thinking about it.
Right, yeah. Parker Finn, the director and writer, kind of said, it's a fantastic question and one that we've been discussing. So. Mm-hmm.
He gave us the answer right there.
Yeah. Which is funny, because I don't think he had the idea for this yet. Maybe he knew it was going to end in front of a lot of people, but he said that within the first month of brainstorming for the sequel, he had a ton of ideas and none of them were the singer.
Yeah.
And he kept going because he kept thinking, if they're coming to me this easily, then it's too obvious and we need to do something else. So eventually he landed on the glitz and glam of a concert person.
Concert person.
Yeah.
I love concert people.
Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm. He was also super committed. I'm surprised you haven't said. He was also super committed to practical effects.
Yeah.
All the smiles are natural. And he basically told everybody, well, word for word, what he told everybody was that he wanted dead eyes that do not match an incredibly uncomfortable, wide, tooth-bearing smile. It was meant to feel predatory in nature.
Yeah. And more on that, he hired Amalgamated Dynamics to do the practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a Zoom call with them basically saying, you guys are my heroes. You're why I wanted to do movies, and kind of geeked out with them for a while. But if you don't know, well, you do know. You know them. They've done a ton of movies, and some of them include Tremors, Death Becomes Her, The Santa Claus, Jumanji, Mars Attacks. Yeah, just to name a few. So they've done a ton of movies that I feel like everybody's seen and everybody loves. And
yeah.
So I'm sure it was very cool to get to work with them.
Totally. Jumanji was really ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah. Not super in this movie, but I feel like we're going backwards.
Sad.
In terms of special effects.
Well, yeah. Peak special effects was Davy Jones and Pirates of the Caribbean 2.
That's true.
And I don't mean to say that just as a tentacle girl. I mean to say that as it actually was the peak of CGI.
That really was some of the best completely computer-generated looks I've seen. Because a lot of the times, the sweet spot is when you're doing practical effects and then using CGI to enhance it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what they did in Jurassic Park, right? They actually had this dinosaur, but then they used CGI to kind of help it along.
Yeah.
And I think we're just relying on it too much. I mostly noticed it in the previews before Smile 2.
Mm.
Where I think it was a preview for Gladiator 2 coming up. And it was the monkeys.
Don't tell me anything
in
it.
I was like,
there's monkeys in it?
Sorry.
It's okay.
There were monkeys in the arena and they looked terrible. They looked so computer generated. Everything else looked beautiful. But the monkeys specifically, I was like, I feel like the Planet of the Apes that came out 15 years ago looked better than this.
Well,
so I'm not understanding how we're doing worse.
Well, you want to know what I was going to say is that the Planet of the Apes marketing stunt on the beaches of San Francisco, where there was no possible CGI, were so well done.
Yeah.
Like, just use practical.
You'd think.
Put a man in a suit.
Put Andy Serkis in a suit. And have him run around Paul Mescal. It's not that hard.
Yeah, it's really not.
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't notice it as much in this movie, but I just noticed it for the previews where I was.
Yeah.
There was another one, too, that's about Robbie Williams, the British pop star or something, but he's a monkey in the movie. And that also looked like shit. We don't know how to make CGI monkeys anymore.
I guess not.
What's going on? So I get to the bottom of this. Anyways, that's my monkey rant.
Yeah. Well. I was really confused by the cinematography in a few scenes.
Okay.
Like, why did the camera go upside down? And why did it, like, zoom like that?
I feel like upside down was just a motif.
Yeah.
Throughout both. Where, I think kind of because, you know. Smile upside down is a frown, you know?
Yeah.
Well, they're really playing into smiles.
Yeah. The director had said that several of the shots rotate upside down to reinforce that the conventional concept of a smile as an expression of happiness or politeness instead turns on its head and becomes a sadistic expression of evil, which I think is a fucking stretch. I don't think that you can convey a 25-word theme with a shot being shot upside down, but it just made me dizzy.
It didn't bother me because I do think that has been used in horror before just to kind of disorient and imply that things are not going well.
I knew that without that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, a stylistic choice, I suppose.
Yeah, I thought it was unnecessary.
I didn't mind it.
At least it was, like, consistent throughout both movies, but it was, like, almost too often to be unique and too infrequently to be obvious. I don't know. It just didn't do it for me.
Yeah. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Thanks.
Was that all of the cinematography that you didn't like?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say about the end of the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
When she was like walking down the hallway without the knife, because the knife was in the car. I imagine, like, we see the knife in the car when Cal Penn is yelling at her, don't go anywhere, don't go anywhere. And then she drives to the house, she gets out of the car, she goes into the house. I would have loved, personally, they didn't hire me as a writer, but I would have loved personally, had she gone to the house, killed someone. Like somebody was in the house. Like maybe the sister was there, like reminiscing or something. Mm. Killed her. And then she's free. She's now free with the knife.
She had to kill someone in front of someone else.
Okay, well then the husband was there too. I don't fucking know. Okay. But anyway, she kills somebody with the knife. Knife's bloody. She's like, oh my God, I'm free. And like the audience is like, okay, she's free. She gets in the car. She's like got on happy music. She's driving away. And then it pans over to the passenger seat and there's the knife still clean.
You wanted more.
No, I wanted ambiguity. I wanted ambiguity.
Deaths?
Yep. No, because that would have been the only fake out death.
Oh, you didn't want
that would have been the end of the movie. What's the first fake out death?
When she kills the patient in front of.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's why she's at the hospital with the knife in the first place.
You're right. Yeah, I guess I wanted two fake out deaths.
Okay, that would have been excessive. I would have been upset. You can't just keep killing people and then saying JK.
Yeah, and you're right. I probably did get that idea from the first fake out death.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but.
But I mean, a little ambiguity would have been fun, right?
Instead of it ending with her passing the curse?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, who has it?
You know, American audiences didn't like that. Some people did not like that this movie, the first one, had a downer ending. Surprise, surprise. America surprise. Doesn't have a sad ending. How many times am I going to have to bitch about this?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mind the sad ending. I didn't mind a bleak ending, but ambiguity would have been a little fun just to be like, ooh, who's got it now?
Yeah.
Because that's also the other thing that was fun about the intro to, which is literally 6 days later, to the second movie, is like you don't exactly know, I mean, unless you're really paying attention, which I don't, who has got it in the beginning. Because it's like, oh, did enough time pass? Does he have it? Like, he died. Does nobody have it? Like,
oh, after Kyle dies?
No, before Kyle dies. The like.
Well, you know he has it.
Right. But did he pass it on? Did he not pass it on?
Oh,
Did this guy get it and then he died and now nobody has it? Or like.
Yeah.
It was just a little like ambiguity until we like actually figured out who actually had it.
Yeah, because Lewis was there.
Oh my God. Wait.
Did you not realize that?
Wait, that was Lewis?
So he kills the guy in front of the other guy.
Yeah.
Then the guy with the new jacket kills him.
Yeah, and then kills the guy on the couch, yeah.
The guy who comes in and sees it and is like, I just buy drugs from them. That's Lewis.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but the thing that doesn't – it had to have passed to some – because he did not see him get hit by the truck. I paid attention.
Okay.
There was one guy in the window watching, and it's the guy in all white who shows up after and starts chasing him.
Okay.
So I'm assuming he got it, passed it to Lewis somehow.
Okay.
But Lewis was there at the beginning.
I didn't notice
that.
He
was getting drugs, yeah.
Maybe they both had it.
But he would have had to witness it.
Maybe he didn't. You just didn't see it. Maybe he saw it off screen. You're thinking too hard.
He ran outside and was across the street.
I don't know. Wouldn't you if people were being shot in the house?
I wouldn't buy drugs from people like that in the first place.
I suppose.
Also, his name's Louis Fregoli.
Mm-hmm.
Fregoli delusion is when someone believes that multiple people are actually the same person in disguise, which is kind of fun because that's kind of the MO of the entity, is disguising itself as other people. Also a fun thing, though, about the first one.
Yeah, we're going back and forth.
Because we are, but whatever. Is that almost all of the victims that we see have previously witnessed someone die. So Laura mentioned seeing her grandfather who died in front of her when she was little.
Mm-hmm.
The widow of Gabriel says that he still struggled with the death of his brother, so that could have been something he witnessed. Rose saw her mom die when she was younger. And I did think it was interesting that that continued with Skye, who saw her boyfriend die.
Oh, yeah.
In the car crash.
Well, I mean, they do say that the entity kind of latches on to people who are a little...
They're having some issues.
Yeah, they've gone through some trauma.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Which also, can I say... not my favorite trope in the world.
What? The entity drama thing?
No. More so, both movies do it, but it's in the first one, oh, we can dismiss her because she has a history of mental illness. And then in the second, oh, we can dismiss her because she was a drug addict.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is not my favorite trope. I think it's, I don't want to say lazy, but I do think it's just the easy way out. It's a very easy writing tool to just be like, oh, no one has to believe these characters or take them seriously because they're a drug addict or because they're mentally ill or something like that.
Yeah.
It just feels like an easy way out. I feel like there's a way to do it where even if the characters around them don't believe them, they still help them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because that's what I would do. If my friend came to me, if you came to me and said, I am cursed, there's smiling people everywhere, and I'm going to kill myself in front of someone, I would not believe that you were cursed, but I would believe that you believed you were cursed.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing, where I would at least take it seriously.
Yeah.
And try to help you in any way that I could.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's another movie that has a similar plot to this, and that's what happens. Her friends don't really believe her, but they're like, we're still going to help you out because you're our friend. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well,
I think there's kind of two movies that have the same trope, and I think both of them maybe did it better. So, not that, again, I still like these movies. I mean, is this not just The Ring? Don't tell me this isn't just The Ring.
Well, yeah, it's passing
from people to people.
Yeah, it's 21st century. The Ring. Better. Did The Ring come out in the 80s,
1999.
Okay, so the 20th century.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is 21st century, The Ring.
Yeah.
See, I at least in the second one, I agree with you. The like drug addiction is very, like, it's easy heavily to pass it on, or like on sleep deprivation or any of that. But in the first one, I mean, they try to throw you off that scent because she's literally a therapist, and it's not until like later on in the movie where finally the sister's like, "You're just, it's because mom and you're inheriting it." And
no,
I'm sorry,
it happens
pretty
early because her boyfriend or her fiance says, like, pretty soon into it, when she first starts spiraling, he says, oh, it's hereditary. I looked it up. Mental illness can be passed on. And just, like, dismisses it.
That was later on.
Thing.
That's much later.
On.
Yeah, it was after the cat. It was when they were coming home from the hospital from her arms being cut up.
Yeah. But still, I mean,
more than halfway through the movie.
Yeah, but it also takes a little bit longer for the first one to ramp up.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they're still establishing the story. Whereas the second one, you kind of go into it knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I was just going to say, like, to be fair, the whole movie is a personification of trauma and mental illness. So, I mean, it's hard to get away from.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just not my favorite trope of supernatural things happening and nobody believes them because they're already written off as crazy or an addict or whatever. But I almost actually... the opposite, kind of thought the second one did better because I believed that a stage mom would dismiss her kid for money. So
yeah,
that I was like, all right, yeah, she probably would do that.
True.
Yeah.
I'm really bummed that the marketing stunt didn't get around as well as like maybe like Long Legs marketing stunts did.
I feel like it did. You just didn't.
I wasn't paying attention.
Care about horror movies when it happened because it was everywhere.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, I remember that marketing campaign very well. I think I said that in Long Legs. I think
did
I said
you?
This is the best marketing I've seen since Smile.
Oh.
I want to say I said that, or maybe I alluded to it but didn't say because I didn't want to spoil it or something. But okay. That's my thoughts. I remember this marketing campaign and it was. Got us hyped.
Well, what I'm talking about, for those who don't know, is a couple of days before the release of the movie, there were some MLB games happening, and they positioned actors right behind home plate to just sit there and do the smile.
Yep.
So that you could see them whenever the camera was looking down home plate.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And then they did it in the crowd on the Today Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a couple live events where they were just hiding people to just stare at the cameras with a smile. They did that for Smile 2, too, at another baseball game. And it went viral because it was a guy and a girl, and they were both staring, but a ball flew over to them. And the girl did not break character, but the guy, like, ducked and got nervous that the ball was coming for them.
Oh, my God. Good for but her.
She kept it the whole time. And you just see him kind of duck and get nervous, and she just keeps straight to camera.
Good for her.
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, the odds of it hitting are really slim, so.
Yeah, someone's going to grab it, right?
Yeah.
You'd think.
We haven't talked about Ray Nicholson at all.
Yeah, I genuinely thought you would bring it up. This series loves Nepo babies.
You're right. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. The bacon?
Yeah.
The Nicholson?
We got the bacon Nepo baby and the Nicholson Nepo baby.
But the Nicholson Nepo baby actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, the smiling. I mean, that's kind of his dad's thing. So it was really genius casting. Mm-hmm. And he said it was just a coincidence. Not a coincidence, but it was like serendipity or whatever.
Yeah.
Which, like, whatever. But yeah, I thought that was iconic Nepo baby casting. If you're going to cast a Nepo baby, that's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
Just next time, just get Jack. But, you know.
Can you imagine?
Gonna be insane.
It just flashes back to her and her boyfriend at the time, and it's Jack Nicholson. I would have lost my goddamn mind.
I mean, there's been weirder things happening. But I mean, it didn't have to be. I mean, he could have been a different character. Like, yeah, he could have been the old lady on the screen, except it was an old man instead. I mean, on the stage.
I just thought it would have been funny if it was the same person, just Jack Nicholson instead.
I've met him a couple times.
Yeah? Is he nice?
No.
Damn.
Well, I mean, I didn't like him up to or anything because he's fucking terrifying.
Oh, okay. So you don't know if he was nice or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
redemption.
My crazy character arc.
Yeah. We really went from, whoop, nope.
Okay. Yeah. No, but my ex waited on him several times because he was a regular at the Jack Daniels Club at the Honda Center.
That sounds correct.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Nicholson, I saw, did an interview recently about this movie. And people were asking if his dad helped him, you know, with the smile. And he said no. He also said after that his mom told him that he was such a handsome kid until he started looking like his dad, which I thought was a crazy thing to drop in the middle of an episode. Like in an interview, you just say that. That feels like something you should talk to your parent. That feels like a mean thing to say to your kid, too. Am I crazy?
Yeah, that's mean.
You were handsome until you started looking like your dad. Any other fun facts?
Yeah. Also, Drew Barrymore being in this movie.
This is going to be the longest episode ever.
Yeah. I've got a lot to talk about.
Oh, God, still.
Drew Barrymore, that was a cute touch.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, horror.
Yeah.
She's a little bit in the Scream Queen. You know, she did a horror movie one time.
Yeah, Scream.
Yeah. And then now.
Yeah.
She's in this. That's fun.
Yeah.
As herself.
Yeah, and her and Naomi Scott both played Charlie's Angels.
Oh, cute. And Naomi Scott's hairdo was inspired by Kristen Stewart, who was also in Charlie's Angels.
Full circle.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing I want to talk about is the cat coming out of the box.
Okay.
Did not see that coming.
No.
No. I screamed. Audibly screamed.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like I could tell that one was going to happen. Cat goes missing. Suspenseful music leading up to him opening the box. What's in the box?
See, I thought like knife. I thought like.
Oh, okay.
I thought toe.
Who's toe?
I don't know.
When did it allude
or
to
like
the toe?
Or like hand. I didn't
feel
think
like it
cat.
It alluded to the cat.
Yeah, it definitely did, but, like, again, I don't allude all you want. You got to hit me in the face with it if you want me to understand it.
Yeah. That's super fair.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's all I have. No, the water stuff. The stuff about the water.
Oh, yes. Naomi Scott drinks a lot of water in the sequel.
Yes, she does. And she thought that it was going to be a little easier than it was.
It's one large Voss commercial is the second one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, she there was no visual effects at all. She's literally just downing water bottles. I don't know how many takes she had to do. I have so much more. I have so many more fun facts. We don't have to talk about it anymore, though. We can just rate it.
I mean, you can talk about it for as long as you want. I said all the fun facts that I liked, but if you have more, go for it.
No, it's okay. The people can get their
own. There's lots of fun facts that you can find available.
We hit all the good ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, let's rate them.
Okay. How do we want to do it?
In order. Smile 1, all 4, and then Smile 2, all 4.
Got it. Okay.
And then I have a little comment to tie it up together.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. How scary did you think Smile 1 was?
I gave it a 1.5.
Okay.
It's mostly jump scares. And I think once I know it's just going to be jump scares, I kind of am like, okay, I get it. Like maybe the first two get me and then it's, I'm ready for them, you know?
Yeah.
What about you?
I gave it a 2.5.
Okay.
I was definitely on the edge of my seat. I was yelling out loud during multiple scenes. like just waiting for things to happen. Mm-hmm. And there were some good jumpies.
Yeah.
The one of the sister coming to the car. I knew it was going to happen, but that one still got me. Real good.
That one, I'm sad because that was in the trailer. So even when I watched this for the first time, I knew it was coming. So I'm kind of sad that they did that because I do think that's one of the best jump scares and they kind of already spoiled it for me. So.
Oh, that's so annoying.
Mm-hmm. But I'm glad it didn't get spoiled for you. That's fun.
Yeah, same.
How sexy did you think the first one was?
I gave it a 2. I don't know, man. Couldn't tell you why. It's just vibes.
Yeah.
It's always either just vibes or tentacles.
It's one of the two.
Yeah. What'd you give it?
I also gave it a 2, but mainly just cast.
Oh.
Most of that is for Kyle Kelner. I really like him. He's very cute.
Yeah. How fucked up did you think it was?
The first one I gave a 1. I didn't think there was anything too crazy.
Hmm.
You did?
Well.
What was it?
The cat in the box, the entity manifesting, the entity going into her mouth.
Yeah, but I just liked that. I thought that was fun. And
there was a good amount of gore.
In the first one, I didn't think it was too bad.
I mean, she, like, slits her throat open. She's, fair. Like, stabbing him. Like, that was worse stabbing than...
Yeah, killing in the...
Yeah, that... The killing the patient thing, or the stabbing the patient in the, like, dream or whatever she was having, mm-hmm. that stomach stabbing was worse than the... What's that? Pool movie? Infinity Pool. People are like, oh, it's so... Oh, it's body horror because the stabbing scene. This was worse than that.
I don't even remember a stabbing in Infinity Pool.
Exactly.
I blacked that whole movie out.
That's what I'm saying.
See, I thought the stabbing in the second one was worse, though, when he rips it up. Oh.
What?
You remember that? When he kills... At the very beginning, when he kills the guy in front of...
Oh, yeah,
stabs him and then, like, lifts him.
Ew,
I was like, oh, that was way worse. So I think I watched them back to back. And so the first one, like, nothing. The second one was way gorier.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I gave this one a 2.5.
Oh, shit. Okay. For just the stabbing? And the cat?
For, like, all of it, yeah. Okay. The entity stuff.
Okay, 2.5 on the fucked up scale. All right.
Maybe it should be a 2. I don't know.
No, go with your heart.
Okay, my heart says 2.5.
I'm maybe thinking I just, like, wasn't processing it enough. I don't know.
Maybe not. I don't know. What did you give it? A 1?
Yeah.
Oh, yikes. Okay. Yeah, okay. All right.
I don't know. Overall, what did you think of the first one?
It was a good movie. This was a good movie. I really understand the hype. Mm-hmm. I was worried that the hype was going to be, you know, it's one of those movies that's overhyped or whatever. But I really enjoyed it. I think that the acting was definitely carried by Sosie Bacon. There were some opportunities there for sure. Mm-hmm. I had a few gripes with the cinematography. I think that the entity was a little bit overworked. But, like, nothing crazy. No, like, huge major complaints. I think it really does go – I know that you said that part of this bothers you, but I think it really does go toe-to-toe with Babadook and its portrayal of mental illness as a physical manifestation. I thought that it did a really good job with that. And, you know, I loved Babadook for that. So all to say, I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Wow.
Yeah, I liked it.
She liked it.
She really liked it.
She really liked it.
Yeah, it was good. It was very good.
Nice. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you. What did you give it?
I gave the first one a 3.5.
Okay.
I also enjoy these movies. I know I kind of ragged on them a bit. But I think the first one, it doesn't break as many rules as it established it. You know, it kind of establishes the rules and the sequel kind of breaks them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to spoil, but I did enjoy the sequel as well. But yeah, I think that it's a fun movie. I understood why people really loved it when it first came out. I do think that there are movies that have done a similar concept and done them a little bit better, which is why I don't have it higher.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think it's a fun horror movie, and it's definitely one that I think give it a watch on Halloween, you know? What a great movie to watch with friends, and there's some comedy in it. Cutner's in it.
Yay, Cutner.
You can't go wrong. And I love Kyle Gallner.
We know.
He just doesn't get as much love as he deserves.
Yeah, he does from you. All right. You go first this time.
You want me to ask you?
Ask me how scary it was.
Okay, how scary did you think it was? The sequel.
Smile 2, I think. It's hard for a sequel to carry the same, like, weight, obviously, in terms of scare factor, because you know kind of the general concept. So for that reason, I bumped it down from a 2.5 to a 2.
Okay.
Because it was still kind of the same spooky vibe, and it did have some effective jump scares. But, I mean, obviously, it wasn't as impactful as the first one.
Interesting.
You think this one's scarier?
I gave it a higher score.
Oh, wow.
Because there's two moments that I think it does a really good job of building tension. I think the first one is mainly just jump scares that kind of got me.
Okay.
Which I gave the first one a 1.5, I gave this one a 2. Because there are two moments where I was actually kind of like, oh, wait, what's going to happen? And that's when the water bottle breaks and she sees the shirt from the guy that she signed who was like a creep to her.
Yeah.
And then his clothes is just spread down the hallway and they just stare at each other, and he's at the end of the hallway naked just staring at each other for a moment. That moment I was like, oh. A woman in front of me in the theater, the gasp she gasped. As soon as it panned up and showed him, she was like, it was so funny. And then the other scene that definitely like built tension was her watching the video from Lewis where he's going around his dark apartment and just stops. I knew that there was going to be a jump scare. I just still got me. So
see, that the only reason that one didn't get me so much is because the first one prepped you for it. In the first movie that happens, like she's like watching her computer and like trying to figure out like, did she hear something in the sound recording? You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, they're using technology again to establish a jump scare. So I was like, okay.
Oh yeah. I definitely knew it was going to happen, but I won't say that when he's walking around his dark apartment, I wasn't on edge knowing that it was going to happen.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. All right. Interesting. I mean, we gave it the same score.
Yeah. We thought it was the same level of scary. We just didn't agree on the first one.
Yeah. All right. Well, how sexy did you think it was?
I gave this one a little bit higher than the first one.
Okay.
I gave it a 2.5. Because again, we have Kyle Gallner. That's like a whole point there. And then also Skye Riley is kind of, you know, she's got it going on. I like the little dancing and she's got some cute little outfits and she's a very attractive person. She kind of sucks as a person in this. She's not super likable. But I also don't really need a main character to be that likable, if I'm being honest. Sometimes it's fun when they're not.
Yeah.
And she did a really great job. Naomi Scott was very good in this role.
Yep.
Yeah. What about you?
I also gave it a little bit higher. I gave it a 2.5.
Look at us. We're so in sync right now.
Yeah.
Call us Justin and JC. I get to be JC.
That's okay. Okay. That's okay. That's acceptable.
Cool.
Yeah, no. I mean, I give it, you know, 2 for the vibe and then 0.5 for the cast.
Okay. Nice. How fucked up did you think it was?
This one had a more fun vibe to it, to me. Okay. I was having a better time. It wasn't quite as sloggy as the first one. It was a little bit more like, you know. So I only gave it a 2.
Okay.
There were still some pretty gruesome scenes, some gore. And what really bothered me is Naomi Scott does an incredible job portraying pain. Mm. Like the car accident scenes. Holy fuck.
This had a lot of your triggers in it, too.
Yes, it sure fucking did.
Yeah.
I'm surprised maybe
it wasn't higher because of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen it. Yeah.
That's fair.
And I don't want to write it too fucked up because, like, I don't want it to be, like, maybe it is my 5. You know what I mean? But, like, overall, it's only 2.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
I don't know how we keep doing this. We're disagreeing, but agreeing on the score.
Okay. Okay.
I gave this higher than the first one, but also a 2.
Okay.
Our scores so misaligned on the first one, but they're somehow aligned on the second one.
Okay.
In different ways. Yeah, I feel like the overall gore of this one was just up a notch. Him getting his face smashed and like his cheek falling off was a lot. Yeah, the car crash and stuff was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And then the part that I really didn't like, honestly, was her pulling the glass out of her foot. I didn't like that at all.
Ew, yeah.
Yeah, that part I was like, eh. Ugh.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. See, I think it's just like a tone thing. The first one was a much like bleaker tone. The second one was a little more like upbeat, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Overall, Smile 2.
Overall, Smile 2. Kind of same movie, same font. But I like the font, so I'm kind of like okay with it. You know what I mean? It's not it's a fine sequel. I feel like it flows very nicely. It does break some rules, which I don't like. But to your point, I do like the vibe of it. It's a very fun vibe. I like the concept of it following a star. Naomi Scott did a great job. I still think it's 15 to 20 minutes too long. They could have edited some of it down. But overall, I think it's just as good as the first one. I gave it a 3.5. I thought that they were very on par with each other. I think if you like the first one, you're going to like the second one. I think if you like the second one, you're going to like the first one. They were good movies. They're fun. Just don't think about them too hard, like I did.
Yeah, don't think about
them. What about you?
These movies were very consistent, to your point.
Very.
I liked the writing. I think that the performances were carried by the lead, which is fine. Like, whatever. Kind of an unnerving concept. I thought the like timeline and reality thing was efficient. The scares were efficient. I also gave this one a 4. Because I gave the first one a 4 and I gave this one a 4.
We're so in sync that we're not in sync.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. But like anyway, I thought this one had a fun vibe. Yeah. And I'd be more likely to rewatch this one first if I was being honest, because it was like more fun. But it wasn't enough for me to like give it a higher rating. I thought again they were very consistent. This is the same movie. But that does really say something about the second movie, because horror sequels are not known to be good.
Yeah.
But this one really held up. So
yeah, I agree.
4s across the board for me.
I like it. Yeah. Our ratings aren't that half a point.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. I just liked it more than you. It's no big deal.
No big deal.
Yeah. I like him more. What can I say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
More importantly, would you survive?
If I have the curse?
Yeah. No. No one does. Well, one guy did, but he had to kill someone.
Right. Yeah. Which I'm not doing. I'm taking the first opportunity to kill myself. I'm not even letting him.
Amazing.
Yeah. Just get it over with.
You don't even know you're cursed.
Yeah.
You're just gone.
Yeah. Later. but yeah, no. I mean, it's very bleak. Once you get it, you're toast.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, probably not. So far, the only way we know to get rid of it is to kill someone else, and I'm not going to kill someone else.
Yeah.
I think, unless I'm the very specific character of Kyle Gallner, I die. Because he was kind of a fucking idiot, to be honest. He walks in on her about to kill herself and then doesn't leave, even though he knows about the curse.
Mm-hmm.
I would have left. Done. Curse over. And then when he goes to kill someone else, he knows that the guy has a gun sitting on the table and just doesn't have him kick it over to him, which leads to him having to shoot back and then kills the guy that's supposed to pass the curse. He could have gotten off scot-free twice and he fucked up royally.
Yeah.
And I'm not making those mistakes. So unless I'm him, I die. And the chances of me being him, because I'm not a cop and I wouldn't be a cop, very slim. So...
Do you think if he had killed her, it would have stopped?
Yeah, but I don't think he would have.
No. He was still kind of in love with her.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Taub should have killed. should have killed Sky.
But was he real?
Yeah, I think he was real.
He wasn't a figment of her imagination?
It would really annoy me if he was.
Yeah.
I think he was real until, obviously... the Pizza Hut scene.
Yeah.
Because from the time that she's attacked in her apartment by the backup dancers or whatever,
mm-hmm.
which that whole scene I thought was very goofy. Not scary at all.
Oh, see, it unnerved me.
I did not think that. I was laughing. I was like, what is happening here? but I think that moment, after that, nothing is real until the concert. We know, pretty much.
Yeah, because the hand did the thing.
Yeah, I think it reaching into her throat in her apartment was the beginning of it getting its control on her. I don't think she's just fully possessed, but I think that was kind of the moment where nothing after that was real until we got to the concert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you win some and you lose some. This is a lose some.
Yeah.
That's all right. One more thing I'll just say about both.
Okay.
Films is that these are incredibly rewatchable. Like in hindsight, especially after like doing some research or whatever, like all the little Easter eggs and the callbacks, mm-hmm. these would be really fun to rewatch and see all those.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I was definitely not expecting for them to be as good as they were.
Good, I'm glad.
Yeah.
All right, do you want to predict next week's movie?
Yep.
All right, it's called The Host, not the one with Saoirse Ronan.
Damn.
From Stephenie Meyers.
I was
a different one.
Yeah, I was going to give you a high-level overview of The Host starring Saoirse Ronan and see if you noticed.
No, I would. I didn't see that, but I know the gist.
It was good. No, it wasn't. But it was fun to watch when I was that age. You know?
Yeah.
When I was the age that I was when it came out. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
This host... is a foreign film.
Mm-hmm.
It's Korean.
It is.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. And that's all I know about it. Oh, no, it's, you know, a man
mm-hmm.
is throwing a party.
Yeah.
For his little sleepy town.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sleepy town. They haven't had a party in a long time. And he invites everyone to the party.
He's the host. My gosh, okay.
Of the party. They're all there to party. I see. I'm trying really hard not to predict the Invitation, which we just watched.
I did make you watch The Invitation recently.
Yeah.
Maybe it's really similar. Who knows?
Yeah. But I do think there's a man, and I do think he ruins everything.
Great, okay.
And he is the host.
He's the host. He invites the town. Shenanigans ensue.
Uh-huh.
People die. He's the worst.
Yeah.
Roll credits.
Yep.
Great.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
Alternatively, the mm-hmm. host is the collective human experience hosting yeah. a zombie parasite.
Great. Okay. We are all the host.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I love your goldfish memory.
What do you mean?
2 episodes ago in Bodies, 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 I said who directed this movie, which was Bong Joon-ho.
Bong Joon-ho.
And I think the episode before that, after we got done, you looked up the poster for this movie. And you got really excited about it.
Oh, it's Tentacle! Oh, it's a Tentacle movie! Oh, fuck. So I was closer when I said the human experience is the host. Wait, the Earth is the host. Earth is the host and the tentacles come to invade. Oh, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, I was glad you didn't realize that it is kind of a monster flick. Yeah. Creature feature, if you will.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. It's been a while, actually, since I've seen it. I haven't revisited it in a while, so I'm really excited to rewatch it. But... Oh. All right, cool. I'm excited to watch Host.
Me too.
The Host. Sorry.
Yeah, not Host. The Host.
So sorry. Not Host. The Host. And the 2006, not the Stephanie Meyer.
Well, yeah. Well, there's another horror movie called Host, too. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I knew,
that's
but the Stephanie Meyer.
Got all of them. Not Host. Not the Stephanie Meyer one. Specifically, the 2006. The Host.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Tentacle.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited. And thanks for listening. Feel free to like and subscribe.
That's it.
I was going to say comment something funny, but I couldn't think of anything funny, so.
Yeah, comment your smile.
Nope. We'll get there. We will see you next Tuesday.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween! Comment what you're going to dress up as for Halloween. There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
We slid it in.
Okay. Oh.
All right. Bye.
Bye.